Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yep, we're going to do the rants. And we're going to take phone calls. Chris in Middletown, hi.
Yes, hi, Todd. How are you today?
Thanks for the call, sir.
Yes, oh, thanks for having me. My name is Christopher Gebbie, and I'm a political whistleblower from Morgan Stanley, and I've been trying to reach people using the internet for like the last 3 years or 4 years. And
You're the guy running for president?
Yeah.
Okay. I've asked you to reach out to me and schedule a time to come on. Jeff from Marlboro. Hello, Jeff.
Hey there, Todd. I won't ask you how you're doing because I know you ain't going to answer. So, I was just thinking about this bill you were talking about with they pay these a family $3,600 or I don't know, what does it go into an account or something?
Oh, the baby bonds, yes. The idea is reparations, put the money goes into an account, sits there for 20 years or whatever, and then gets paid out.
So, you know, when I was younger, you know, my parents and not only schools, you know, schools were required to teach health and sex education. You know, if you can't afford a baby, maybe you shouldn't be having a baby. I think that's more responsible to, you know, figure out what you can afford. I wouldn't bring a baby into this world if I only could not give it a very good life. You know, I don't understand. Now it seems encouraging people who just can't afford to take care of their children to have more children.
No, I think it's more that you shouldn't have to, in the world as it is practiced today in America, you shouldn't have to pay your own way. You should create burdens, and then the government can swoop in and get bigger and more important by taking care of your burdens for you. So in this model, the more bad behavior you can encourage, the better.
Yeah, and I think it's just like it compounds the problem, though. You know,
but that's what they want to do.
And, yeah, I guess.
So you're telling them, congratulations. Good job, guys. You did what you wanted to do.
Yeah, they made it, I guess. But what are you going to do with all these kids once they grow up and they got their $20,000 when they're 19?
They're going to make sure there's no jobs for them by jacking up the minimum wage to ungodly amounts, which is basically where it is now, so they can go on with this game forever. Thank you, Jeff, for the call, 860-522-9842. Mark Christopher in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. That's what's going on, Mark. What's going on with you?
It's the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
You know, I remember 4 years ago wondering why the Democrats in the state were running such a stupid election campaign, because they were positioned to lose seats in the legislature and to lose the governor's office. And it didn't work out that way. But leading up to it, I was wondering why they were so committed to just doing all the stupid things that they always do. Why they were making life worse for the people in the state and pursuing policies that were untenable. And I think it's because they understand themselves to have found a winning formula, and that formula is based on do what's bad for the state. That will cause your Democrats representing the underclass, it will cause your support to grow because you get to take more money and give it away to people. You get more people on programs. And that seems to be they've hit some point of critical mass. I'm not kidding around when I say that. They don't have a goal of doing what's best for the state. They don't have a goal of doing what's best for the country. So get that out of your heads when you're doing your calculations. I know it's hard because it's so counterintuitive that people could be as hateful as they are. And yet they are. 860-522-9842. Mark's in West Hartford. Hey, Mark.
Todd, you mentioned before that you wish that there were tabloid reporters.
I wish there was a tabloid newspaper. There's all these wonderful headlines waiting to be emblazoned across the top of it. And the local newspapers, which are dying, seem to be trying to expedite their own death by failing to capitalize on these opportunities.
They sure do. And one of my desires would be to see reporters go back in time, not ancient history, but recent history. So, for instance, Sean Wooden rolled this baby bond. You know, it was under his tutelage under Denise Napier. But Sean Wooden rolled it out in July of 2021. You know, this program isn't even 2 years old, and they're in trouble funding it.
You're talking about the baby bonds?
Yeah. So why don't we have a reporter? You know, in this case, it's Sean Wooden. Go track him down and ask him what we should do now. Since he rolled it out and promised us that there was a way to pay for it, and there's not. Like I said, less than 2 years later, we're in trouble already. What's going to happen in another 2 years or 5 years? But, you know, whether it's Malloy and all his destructive programs, you know, the same with Lamont when he leaves in a couple of years, let's hope. They never have to answer. There are no consequences for their decisions.
Because there are no reporters, there's no newspapers, there's no media. There's just everything's an illusion now.
Well, Sean Wooden should get, you know, listen, we talked about him before you and I, whether he was divesting in very profitable companies to, you know, rolling this out. We're the first in the country to roll it out. I mean, are others using us as a benchmark? I hope not. They're going to be in trouble, too.
They're all seeking to be first in destruction, and the Connecticut guys are doing really well with it. Thank you, Mark. Good to talk with you. 860-522-9842. We've got to get the rants rolling. We'll take phone calls as well at 860-522-9842. Let me see if we get this playing here. See if we get some noise going. No, it's not moving. Wait a sec. What is wrong with this today? I'm going to try it once more.
Hey, Todd, I got a solution of the Meriden with all the motorcycles and the quads and the disrespecting of the police department. Why don't they hire the Hell's Angels to go in there and clean it up? They're a bunch of great guys. They just don't put up with any crap. Hire them. Any trouble, just send them in. They'll straighten it all out. I don't know what else they're going to do. So let me know what you think. I think they need to do something because it's only going to get worse.
What if there were cops and you paid cops bundles of money to...
Hey, Todd, I wanted to talk about these street takeovers a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, these guys that do this, these guys and gals, they're all car guys. They're all into their cars big time. I'm a car guy, so I know, mm-hmm. but I don't do that kind of stuff. But anyway, what if the police came up with some kind of paint bomb? Like they could shoot these bombs into the crowd and it would splatter paint all over these nice street racer cars. I think that might deter some of that activity. Anyway, great show. I love your show. I listen to it every day, and keep doing what you're doing. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. You see what we're doing, though? We are so desperate for something because what we have in place no longer works. It's been broken. COVID broke things. The malicious legislation on policing broke things. Government is now the breaker of things. It's remarkable, but that's where we are. 860-522-9842. Mike, you're on the air.
Jesse Waters did a show on Sunday on Fox News. He goes around every year around the holidays, Memorial Day, Labor Day, July 4th, asking people basic historical questions. And he was at Coney Island, and he asked some of these young people who fought in the Civil War. One woman said it was North America against South America.
Well, that wasn't so bad.
No, she was close,
yeah.
But... She was close. They asked one guy who attacked Pearl Harbor in World War II. He said, we did. I kid you not.
Yeah, that's not bad either.
I got a good laugh out of it, but I wanted to make a statement about, you know, the general public, the good people out there that worked hard their whole lives, and even the young, you know, there's a lot of hardworking young people also. I don't want to forget them. Things are going to pop down the road like a volcano. People are just going to be set up. They're going to be under so much pressure that we're going to have some problems.
You think?
Yeah. Ever see a volcano when it erupts?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's where we're heading. Thank you, Mike. 860-522-9842. Let's play a rant or two.
Hey, Todd. Well, it's Elon Musk, if you're out there listening, please, if you're going to team up with Ford, hold their feet to the fire and don't let them turn their radio system in just to FM. We need the AM as well. Later.
Well, Ford announced a week or so ago that their cancellation of AM was over, that they had figured it out. Toyota said they had figured out a way to... That whole thing about the static, that the electric cars cause too much static, that was one of those plausible deniability things where they just make up reasons. And people say, oh, okay, they can't do it. And people hear it on the news and then they repeat it to each other. Oh, no, Toyota can't do AM. None of the car companies can do AM because electric cars, nobody even has an electric car. Except for the rich people who bought them so they can have them. But they don't drive them. Let's get realistic here. All nonsense, this stuff. All nonsense. And nonsense rules.
Oh, God, I forgot. You know, there was all...
Message marked for deletion. New message.
Hi, Todd. You know, on Friday, I was wishing that you... would have asked what kinds of games people play during their Memorial Day celebrations. You know, when I was growing up, we played horseshoes. We played badminton. The kids played hopscotch or marbles. You know, Todd, we didn't just stuff our faces and get drunk. There was so much else involved. Thanks, Todd.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you weren't just stuffing your faces and getting drunk. And now, you know, I think Margaret's point is family time was a good thing. Kids grew up better in a world in which kids were allowed to be kids. And that required that adults be adults and protect the kids from the encroachment of adulthood into their zone. Kids deserve to have a zone where they get to be young. You know, I was reading these arguments about, well, there are stories in the papers about the towns in the state dealing with issues of book banning. And there was a line in there about how you can't ban books in school libraries because that's censorship. And I went right to Twitter and I sent out a tweet that said, don't you have to? Isn't it your job as a school library to do censorship? Isn't that your obligation because you've got to protect children? And it's a government institution. Doesn't it have a higher standard? Doesn't it have a bigger responsibility because they are taking kids for the day from parents and they've got the obligation of doing something that is right and decent and good on behalf of the parents for whom they are watching their kids. Isn't that what they are supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be censoring because kids need to be protected. True or false? It's so clear. So for all the leftists who are outraged at the idea that books would be banned from a school library, school libraries ban books routinely. There, if you search online, there's hundreds of them, books that have been banned at one time or another. And just a couple of years ago, it was all over the news that Huck Finn, they were banning Huck Finn because didn't he say the N-word? And I didn't hear liberals objecting to the idea that Huck Finn was being banned because they saw it as protecting young people. 860-522-9842. Juan's in East Hartford. Hey, Juan.
I decided to call because I heard Margaret's voice, and it's just I just wanted to send her wishing her best. I can hear her
Margaret.
Laboring.
Because voice. You heard Margaret, yeah.
Yeah, it's just I miss her. She's a great lady.
She is, and it is fun to hear her
I
on
just
the
wanted
air.
To wish. We miss it listening to her as often as we used to, and.
You know why she doesn't call as much? She's busy playing croquet.
I don't think she's busy playing croquet.
I do. I see her out there. I figure she uses the between the legs swing one.
Yes, she does. Do you think she holds it?
Oh, sorry. We're losing you. You're breaking up. But I think she holds it with two hands, if that's what you were going to ask. Yes, absolutely. Because she was talking about her youth.
Society is the family unit. A father's love is different than a mother's. The mother is the heart of the family. The father keeps the family together. He is the glue of the family. Government destroys the family.
Well, I like all those. I like that government is a destroyer family because that makes sense because government destroys everything. And women being in the heart of the family, that makes sense because they are the soul and the emotional connectivity and all. They're the ones who provide the love and deliver the child unto the planet. But I don't know, fathers are something better than glue. Better than dead horses, aren't they? Seriously?
Hey, Todd, you were talking about voting blocks and how they provide services for the voting blocks and they don't have to provide for anybody else. That's similar to what they're trying to do and doing away with the Electoral College so they can only concentrate themselves on promising things to certain voting blocks, and that would be cities or very Democratic-leaning high population areas that would vote for them, and then they don't have to go anywhere else because they'll win every election if they go by the popular vote. That's why we should never do away with the Electoral College ever.
Yes, but that's true of any of their proposals. Everything they propose is a way to rig the electoral system to make it easier for Democrats to win or make it more likely for Democrats to win. So anything they propose is bad for America and bad for the state. 860-522-9842. Yep. Mark Christopher is here, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. How the...
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rhodes doing, Mark?
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
WTIC. Oh, Tom Scott. Tuesday evenings is Tom Scott. That'll be coming up in a few minutes for us. It will. if all goes according to plans, which few things do, but one never knows, do we? Does one?
It's hello, Todd. My rant today is about Ukraine and how everyone flies the Ukrainian flag and supports the Ukrainian people. Well, here's a little tidbit for everyone. Do you know that the money we are sending as aid over to Ukraine, we are borrowing that money from China? If that makes any sense to anyone, I'd like to hear their viewpoint on why they think we should be doing that. See ya.
Well, that's true of almost everything we're doing. State of Connecticut's $150 billion in debt does nothing to address the structural realities, that is, the commitments to spend money. And it, if you watch what Ned, listen just a little bit to what Ned's been doing through the election year and since, and then the legislature, it's all got to do with how to create new programs to spend more money that they don't have, knowing that by committing to more spending, they're putting themselves in a weaker position to be able to pay off the structural debts that already exist. The big nut owed to the retirements and the post-employment benefits. The post-employment benefits. Those things still need to be paid off. And they ignore the need to pay those off and create instead new obligations. And every new obligation becomes something that nobody wants to let go of. And by the way, I just have to add, they create nonprofits to administer services for all of these programs they create. And then they get those nonprofits who they give money to provide these services to go protest. So if you watch what's going on in the news, like there's the SEIU is pro. Have you seen this story? Yesterday there were SEIU protests and they were all over the news today. And there's also a TV commercial about how they need $25 an hour minimum wage. The nonprofits who do the government work. They are scamming you up and down the street. And it's sick. 860-522-9842. Hang on, Chris. We'll get to you in a couple of minutes. We're going to Mark Christopher right now. He's in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. The road's good, Mark.
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show. Live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
WTIC. Good afternoon. Tuesday afternoon. There's a great spirit of summer in the air. Joining us now to help discuss it and other important matters, Tom Scott, who is our Tuesday afternoon at this time guest. Hello there, Thomas.
How you doing today, Todd?
What's going on, sir?
Well, I'm just watching the legislature like the rest of us as they careen towards that constitutionally mandated adjournment date, which is right around the corner. You know, I always thank the good Lord for that provision of the state constitution that makes these people go home and maintains that institution, relatively speaking, as a part-time institution.
Yeah, but doesn't that deadline just cause them to jam more part-time into a shorter amount so it becomes full-time damage?
Well, yeah, yes, and some bad stuff does die on the calendar because they just run out of time to get it done before they adjourn sine die, which is the official word that comes from the president of the Senate or the speaker of the House when the clock strikes midnight. You know, years ago, this never happened when I was in the state Senate, but years ago, the legislature used to get around that midnight adjournment by physically turning the clock back and hoping that, you know,
so they could just keep going as long as they wanted.
They might grab an extra hour or so and hope that the reporters weren't paying attention, or maybe they all got the joke and didn't, you know, widely report on it. But it actually happened. There may be some old timers in your audience that can tell that story better than I.
Can you hang on a sec, Tom? Can you talk about these protocols that you're alluding to? That is particular screwy language that gets used, and all these protocols of of how you run a bureaucracy, a bureaucratic chamber like a legislative chamber. And what's that book of rules and stuff? I mean, it's like its own world. Does the fact that that other world exists, is that part of what creates the distance between us and our elected representatives?
Very much so. Now that said, a good rule book, and in the case of the Connecticut State Senate, they have something called Mason's Rules of Order. The more popular rule book that a lot of local legislative bodies use, and local garden clubs and all these groups all over the country, is Robert's Rules of Order,
right,
newly revised.
But here they use the Nathan's? It's the same as
Mason.
The hot dog guy?
No, Mason with an S.
Oh, Mason. Okay.
And it's actually a pretty good book, Todd. And I have to say that I knew that book pretty well. And there's a lot of obscure stuff in there. And Mr. Mason, when he wrote that book many, many years ago, actually had in mind not only a process by which you could have coherency and everybody, you know, gets to be heard, but it protected the minority. There are all kinds of rules in that book that protect the minority. For mm-hmm. example, we don't have a filibuster rule in Connecticut per se, but I actually engaged in what amounted to a filibuster one time because I understood that the main rule in preventing a filibuster was that a speaker could not be redundant. And the words spoken had to be germane to the matter before the Senate. And I actually ran the clock out one time by just not repeating myself. And there were multiple attempts to rule me out of order. So the minority can be protected if you know how to use these rules. But I thank those delegates, again, before my time, who attended the Constitutional Convention in Connecticut in 1965. That's the last time that we had kind of a big review and a lot of revisions of the Connecticut Constitution. And the one important thing they did, among others, was they maintained the notion of a part-time legislature.
Mm.
So in the even-numbered years, the legislature is supposed to be in session for only 3 months. In the odd-numbered years, they're only supposed to be in session for 5 months. And there are emergencies, that happen, and the governor has executive authority to call people back in for a very limited purpose. The legislature can call itself back in by petitioning or by getting all the leaders to sign a petition. So there are all these rules that in 1965 were codified in the Constitution to make sure that Connecticut did not become a massive legislative and executive bureaucracy. But of course it happened because they violate the rules all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Weicker got the income tax passed, they were in perpetual session. You know, the deadline came and went, and the governor called them back into session, and he just kept them there until they finally gave him what they wanted. So this year, the date is, I don't know what the date is. I think it's a week or 10 days from now, but the Constitution is explicit. They have to go home at midnight on that date, and anything on the calendar, any bill on the calendar, dies if it doesn't get voted on by the midnight deadline.
But that's why they throw them all into one big pot called an omnibus bill and pass that without knowing what's in it.
In Connecticut, they have something a little different. They have a consent calendar, and that actually does speed up the process. And again, under Mason's, it does protect the minority, because the only way a bill can get on the consent calendar is if there is unanimous consent to the bill. In other words, the lieutenant governor will say, is there any opposition to this bill? And if there is no opposition, the majority leader will move the bill to the consent calendar. So at the end of the session day, this is on a daily basis, there may be 100 bills sitting on that calendar. But instead of casting 100 roll call votes, which actually takes a long time, they cast one vote and they adopt the entire consent calendar. But again, every member has to be on board for that. Otherwise, there's a roll call vote.
But there is a psychology to things wrapping up, where everybody just wants to go home. And that means that you might hate a few pieces of legislation that are in that collection, that big pile you're talking about each day. But they still will vote to go along with ones that discuss them. Is that right?
Yeah, in part, and in part, some things some members just don't believe are worth fighting over, because a lot of these bills are relatively minor. They may be a specialty bill. They may be a special act for the little town of Basra that was submitted by the state representative from Basra, mm-hmm. having to do with who knows what, right? Right. Could even be a land purchase or something. And the horse trading is most pronounced as you get closer to the deadline. And the leaders, if they're trying to get support from certain rank and file members on the bigger bills, they may hold up the smaller bills of individual members and not put them on the consent calendar and not bring them up for debate and a vote, so that some of their own members stay in line, knowing that if they stray, their pet project, their pet bill might not even get a vote. That happens all the time.
In other words, you have to vote for the garbage the other people are proposing so your garbage gets passed.
Yeah, pretty much. But if you know how to work the system, it is, you know, who was it? Connecticut's Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, once said that there are two things people never should see made, sausage and law. And that was back then. And the abuse that we're seeing now often takes place in what they call the implementer bill. The legislature will go back into session for what they call a veto session. Maybe the governor vetoed a few bills, maybe he didn't. But they'll go back in and they'll pass an implementer bill. And in theory, that bill is supposed to dot some I's and cross some T's of bills that were sloppy. Some of these are technical revisions, and some of them are not even nefarious. So somebody simply made a mistake in the drafting of a line in a bill. Because so much stuff is rushed at the end, and they fix them. And this years ago was an honest approach to literally cleaning up some bad bills. And I don't mean bad from an ideological or a policy standpoint, but there was just some poor drafting and some unintentional consequences were discovered. But now they use this implementer bill to put all kinds of nonsense in there that people never intended to vote on and don't even know what's in the damn thing.
Wait, so the implementer becomes a retroactive bill writing scheme?
Yeah, absolutely. And whole provisions are wiped out, or whole provisions of bills that were passed are wiped out, or bills that didn't get passed get inserted as some obscure paragraph somewhere in the implementer bill. And it's really been abused in the last decade.
Like everything, it seems. We're talking to Tom Scott. But Tom, what concerns me is there should be a way to do quote unquote democracy in which the democratic systems aren't vehicles that get stolen by the elected officials, the very same ones who are supposed to be representing our interests when they're there. But instead, they get inside this racetrack of lawmaking, and they realize that there is great power to be had if you become one of the master manipulators. And that requires that you lie to the people about what you're doing, and you play all these games really effectively, and you pay off people who you need on your side with stuff that they shouldn't get. And that's what makes the world go round. But it seems to turn the legislative process into the enemy of the people and causes the politicians, the ones who are nefarious by nature, which seems to be most, it causes them to go into hyperdrive in the realm of deceiving and lying and misrepresenting reality. Do you see some way to build an electoral system and a legislative system that doesn't lead to such hatefulness?
You know, Todd, there is a way, but it's kind of an academic argument and it's a theoretical argument, although the process exists even in the state of Connecticut. And what I mean by that is 27 states have some form of initiative and or referendum, and or the ability to recall public officials. And we don't have any of that in Connecticut. And the Constitution of the state of Connecticut does give us an ability to do that. But the legislature first has to pass it, and then the people get to vote on it. And, you know, this has come up many, many times. You know, prior to the income tax, I had a bill in every year to, I called it the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which would empower the people of Connecticut through initiative and referendum. And it was designed in a way that would make it challenging to get a matter on the ballot so that we eliminate frivolous matters. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to put something on the ballot, make it a real issue that there's a lot of interest in. And interestingly enough, many of the people that used to co-sponsor that resolution with me, because they were resolutions because they were a constitutional amendment, were some of the most ardent, well-known at the time leftists in the legislature. But when they saw 65,000 people at the state capitol during the income tax fight, the largest political event in the history of Connecticut, which yours truly was the ringleader of, one of the leading guys at the time, one of the guys, state representative who used to support that bill and co-sponsor it, said he would no longer support the right of initiative and referendum, essentially saying that the people of Connecticut couldn't be trusted with such power because we would have denied them the holy grail of the income tax. Uh-huh. And we would have had the ability to punish these people politically midterm with the right of recall.
That's quite a story. So this this is the problem of having centralized power. It's just if you create government, then you get this kind of garbage, malicious, hateful lawmaking.
Yeah. And one of the things, Todd, that we have going on right now, and, you know, you mentioned that some of these people are dishonest in their public pronouncements on bills. A lot of the dishonesty is by omission. Meaning you're only getting half the story. I mean, some people simply, you know, straight up mischaracterize what a bill is doing, but sometimes they lie by omission. And one of the things that's coming up right now is this Connecticut red light camera tax. And let's call it what it is. It is a tax. It already passed the House of Representatives. I don't know what the status of it is in the House, but it would empower every one of the 169 towns and cities to set up these red light camera taxing devices so that if somebody, you know, rolls through a yellow light and maybe they're at the point of no return, suddenly get home one day and open up the mail and there's a $150 fine waiting for them. And this is known all over the country as a scheme to tax people without calling it a tax. And if you look at the companies that run this, like there's a little town out in Iowa, I was just reading the story this afternoon, where this company that runs these cameras for this town is getting, it has a 40% take on every ticket that gets processed.
That's so amazing.
And it's being sold in the interest of public safety, but in reality, it's a tax. And that's what they're doing in Hartford right now. They are giving more taxing authority to Connecticut's towns and cities. And it's going to be a lot. It's going to be very tempting for a lot of these towns to go along with it. And people are going to need to fight this,
'cause they want
not only in the state Senate, but they're going to need to fight it at the state level, a local level, because this is coming to your town soon.
All right, Tom Scott, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Anytime, you bet.
Appreciate that. Nice day. We'll see you again tomorrow, okay? Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. What's going on, Mark?
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.